Blog Talk Radio.
Point is up and it is good. Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. I'm your host, the coach, Keith Howard, and there is way too much going on in sports. I mean, it's, man, this time of year, people think it's kind of quiet right now, but it is not. First of all, you got NHL and NBA playoffs on television every night, multiple games, multiple channels. I mean, it's a lot going on in the playoffs. I tell you, these playoffs now are like a second season. I think the NBA playoff, I believe that one drags on until for about 2 months, about 8 weeks of playoff action. You can just tell the difference between regular season and playoffs, just the intensity level. It is ridiculous. I went to Wizards game Wednesday night, game one against the Hawks. Sat with Knicks fan, and the Knicks fan is just, man, I'm telling you, they need to sell the team. They're just bad. They're just really bad, and they drink too much. But anyway, we got wall-to-wall NFL draft on the way. So there is so many mock drafts. I'm trying to keep up with, you know, of course, my own team, the Washington Redskins, the world's greatest team. But, you know, also I'm trying to find out what the Giants are doing, the Eagles and Cowboys, because I want to make sure we can win the NFC East. Then I got to check on Seattle, because I want to see if we can compete in the NFC as a conference. And of course, you got to look at, well, what's Cleveland doing? They got the number one pick. What's New England doing? They won a Super Bowl. So you got NFL draft next week. Our show next week is all NFL draft, no basketball, all NFL draft. So looking forward to that. And then of course, went out to Nats Park last Saturday, and you know, Major League Baseball now starting to settle into their season. So there's a ton of sports talk to go around. Speaking of baseball, today we have the founder and CEO of the Negro League Legends Hall of Fame, Dwayne Sims. This is a great catch for us. Dwayne's a great guy, and we are looking forward to hearing him. And then, of course, Extra Points Radio Show contributor, super referee, Craig Muckle, to go around all things hoops. But first, as always, tension topics. So many topics to talk about. You know, I mean, here's one that we could talk about easily for 15 minutes, Aaron Hernandez. So sadly, Aaron Hernandez was found and committed suicide in his cell days after he was acquitted on some other murder charges. He was doing life sentence without parole. And, you know, sad to see him go, maybe 27, really young guy. So that's sad. I mean, we could talk about that forever and the topic of mental health forever. But no, we're going to keep the show on a high. How about the Caps? Caps battling. I mean, 3-2. They're up 3-2 on Toronto. I got to tell you, I thought they'd beat Toronto 4-0. So I mentioned on last week's show that the Caps are probably the biggest playoff chokers in all of sports. You look at the record. Go check the record. These guys just can't win playoff series. I don't know what the deal is. Saw the game last night. You know, barely won. Went to overtime again. So game 1-2 and 4-5 have gone to overtime. So this is about as tight a series as you can get. Could easily talk about that. for 15 minutes. But no. How about this University of Michigan deal? So Coach Jim Harbaugh, who everyone knows, is kind of likes to shake things up, and I think I don't know if he's trying to be a millennial or what, but he really likes shaking things up and getting the players excited about doing things a little bit differently, and it helps recruiting. So they're in spring ball right now, Michigan football team, and he decides to take the whole team to Italy to do the practices there, but really to get the education around, Vatican City and Rome and the Pope and all the relics. I mean, think about this now. If you're a parent, your kid's trying to decide, is he going to go to Michigan? Is he going to go to Notre Dame? Is he going to go to Alabama? And the Michigan coach says, hey, I'm going to take him to Italy. Maybe you go with Michigan. It's to Italy for your kid. It's education that you really, you may never get again. So, man, I tell you, there was a lot that went on during that trip outside of the football. So easily could talk about that for 15 minutes. But we're not going to talk about that one either. This is this week's Pay Attention topic. I got to hit the button. Almost forgot to hit the button. I was so excited. So here's the thing. I'm in D.C., the greatest city in the world, the capital of the free world, America's hometown, and home of the White House. And this week we had the New England Patriots come pay us a visit, as all teams do. After winning the Super Bowl, they come in and they shake hands, take pictures with the president. They do the helmet, give him a helmet, give him an honorary jersey, usually with either the number one on it or whatever number the president is. In this case, it's 45. So they came down to visit POTUS, President of the United States. Only 34 players out of 64 on the roster. Now, this is 64 active players on the roster. So some guys aren't under contract. Some guys are free agents. Some guys are on injured reserve, what have you. It's 64 guys. Only 34 of them came to the White House. So a big deal was made. I mean, it was all over the news, like what's going on. So there's a photo op with the president, Coach Belichick, Mr. Kraft, the owner of the Patriots. But it looked like a lot of players didn't make it. Well, a lot of players didn't make it. So I started doing some research. I was like, well, what's going on? Is it because who the president is or guys just that busy? So come to find out that in 2015, New England came to the White House. They had just won the Super Bowl. And they took that same picture. Now, in 2015, New England had 40 staff members join them on the trip. The staff members were standing on the steps of the White House, which made it look full. It looked like there were a lot of people there. But in essence, and I'm sorry, that's what they did this year. In 2015, what they did was they put everyone out in the South Lawn. So it didn't look as full. So I thought it was weird that I went on Twitter and I saw that New England went out to tweet that the last time they won 2 out of 3 Super Bowls, only 36 players attended the White House visit. So I started asking myself, is this really a big deal? It's really not. I mean, the last time they won 2 out of 3, they had 2 more players attend, just 2 more. Then I read something where, well, the last president got an autographed helmet, and this president didn't get an autographed helmet. I mean, who cares? I'm trying to figure out who cares whether the players signed it, didn't sign it. I put it like this. I know what it takes to get a helmet autographed by an entire football team. Actually, that takes weeks to do. because guys are busy, guys forget. I know it only takes probably 10 seconds to sign your name, but there's a lot to signing footballs and helmets that people just don't know. So, again, I just didn't think it was a big deal, so I kept digging. I'm like, I got to figure out why is it such a big deal. So I go and I said, all right, well, Tom Brady wasn't there. Okay, well, all you got to do is open your ears and you'll know Tom Brady's mom's been very ill for months. Even during the season, he was missing practice to go visit with his mom. So Tom Brady not being there wasn't unusual. And, oh, by the way, Tom Brady wasn't there in 2015 when they won. So, again, what's the big deal? Now, Chris Long wasn't there. Chris Long was very vocal about his opposition of our current president's views. LeGarrette Blount wasn't there. LeGarrette Blount is on his last leg in the health and wellness policy, the substance abuse policy in the NFL. So I think I know where he may have been. I don't know why he wasn't there, but I know where he may have been. Alan Branch wasn't there. Dante Hightower wasn't there. McCourty wasn't there. Okay, so what? I mean, guys got stuff to do. They're off, you know. So what do you do on your day off, you know? Now, the president said that Tom Brady is a fan of his. He tweeted that the day before the election. And I don't know if he did that to make sure he, you know, won or thought he could get more votes. I don't know what it was. But it was funny because Tom Brady's wife, supermodel Gisele Bündchen, said not a supporter of the president. So I'm just wondering, with everything going on, you know, North Korea, right, the mother of all bombs was just dropped. There's a looming government shutdown. I'm in D.C., that's going to affect a lot of people. If the government shuts down, by the way, people, Walmart's not the largest employer in the country. The federal government is. And we're worried about which New England Patriots were at the White House. What about health care? Okay. Some people don't have it. Some people are trying to reform it. What about immigration? People are hopping over walls. I mean, there's so much going on, and I'm just shocked and amazed that we are still tax reform. I mean, I could go on and on. I forgot about tax reform. So this week there's supposed to be a big to-do on tax reform. So, again, I just don't get it that, you know, we're making such a big deal out of who visited the White House for Super Bowl. That just was mind-blowing to me. So, anyway, hey, we could go on and on about that. It is wonderful to go to the White House. I've been there many times. The pomp and circumstance, the ceremonial, it's wonderful. But this whole picture thing, you know, it kind of reminds me of the inauguration where a big to-do was made about, well, 4 years ago, look at this picture. 8 years ago, look at that picture. It's a picture of the White House. Who cares with all this other stuff you got on? So, hey, more power to the people. They basically said, hey, if you want to go, you can go. If you don't want to go, don't go. No big deal. So, end of story on that. So, hey, we got a great, great show today. Last week, we dipped in a little bit of baseball, and we're going to be doing more of that as the seasons change. Love dipping into baseball. And then, of course, somewhere around August, it'll be all football all the time. But we're excited to have our guests. Dwayne Sims come in from the Negro League Legends Hall of Fame. Looking forward to have him on the other side of the break. So, Chuck, I know if you were here, you would not be concerned about what player didn't come to the Super Bowl visit at the White House. I know you wouldn't, Chuck. Chuck, take us to break. We'll be right back on the Extra Points Radio Show. Never gets old, never gets old. They played Chuck the other night at the Wizards game, Verizon Center. They didn't play Money. They played Busted Loose. The crowd went wild. So the music is timeless. Thank you so much, Chuck. And, of course, yesterday was the one-year anniversary of the passing of my favorite musician, Prince. And so, of course, we always thank him for his contribution to our world. So, hey, you know, we talk baseball and love talking baseball. We've been, of course, we can always talk Nats, always talk Orioles. Bryce is rolling. Bryce is ridiculous right now. He won the game single-handedly again last night. Even last week we talked Bowie Bay Sox. But, you know, we got to give some love to the Negro League. And I wish I had done this sooner, but I'm just finding out about this organization, the Negro League Legends of Fame, and its founder and CEO, Dwayne Sims. So we got a ton of people on the line, but I think I got Dwayne. Dwayne Sims, are you there?
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be in here this morning and breathing and alive.
You got that right, man. You got that right. Breathing and alive is very important. Hey, Dwayne. Man,
yes,
I'm telling you, you know, you came highly referred, and then I went on the website and I saw all this media. So you are a media darling, so welcome to the Extra Points radio show. Tell everybody about your organization, because I thought I knew everything about sports and especially its history, but I learned a lot just visiting your site. Tell us about your organization.
Appreciate it. I founded the Negro League Legends Hall of Fame back in 2002. After going down to the Library of Congress, and J.C. Watts, Barbara Mikulski, Rick Santorum was involved with some legislation to finally recognize there was a Negro League that existed in American baseball history, and actually to salute them and recognize their contributions to the game of baseball. I always say the Negro League was part of American baseball history, because during the time of the war, everybody went to see the Negro League ball players play. And prior to
that,
in the
1900s.
Go ahead.
Wait, I already
yes,
have a question.
Yes.
Run by those names again. Barbara Mikulski, right?
Rick Santorum.
Whoa, wait a minute.
2002.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Wow.
J.C. Watts is of record with the congressional resolution that was passed, and I was there. I was a guest there, and actually, which was interesting, I got involved with maybe 30 days prior to it taking place at the Library of Congress. A young lady called me and said, oh, we're trying to get 8 Negro League players. I said, 8? We got over 50 still living. So we actually ended up bringing 30 of them up to the Library of Congress to be saluted. Willie Mays was there, because Willie came back from the Negro Leagues, and he actually played in the Birmingham Black Barons during the early years. Also, Willie Mays' father played, so most of the players came out of Birmingham, Alabama. 2002, they finally had an opportunity to say, hey, look, Congress recognized our contribution. And it was just amazing. Blair Underwood was there. Hammer was there. I enjoyed
right,
it.
Hammer had a baseball background, right, with the A's,
yes,
I believe,
yes,
the Oakland A's.
Yes, yes. And back in the days, when we think about it, in the 1930s and 40s, you were going to Howard University or any of the historical black colleges, they had baseball teams. They also played baseball, football, ran track. Most of the athletes in those days, actually, Negro League players went to college, served in the military, but also they may play 3 or 4 sports, even basketball. But baseball, America's game, was like nothing else like it, because really they had to have their own league. But prior to 1920, the leagues played against other white teams. And even in the Negro League, you had white players. You had Cubans. You had Hispanics. And then later in the years, after the 50s, when the league was actually, most of the players now were going to Major League Baseball, when you had Roy Campanella, you know, these guys here, people like Roy Campanella, yeah, they came from the Negro League. Jackie Robinson had a short stint there. Hank Aaron had a short stint in the Negro League. Well, we're talking about guys before them that were actually played. And it's just one of those things. I was shocked. because I never even heard of the Negro League until 1999.
Sure, yeah.
1999, I got introduced. Go ahead, sir.
When you run through all that rich history,
yes,
and it's amazing history, and the names that you just went through, but then when I look at today, and I'm going to fast forward all the way up to right now.
Yes.
And I go through, it's April, and I go in and out of high schools, especially in Prince George's County, which is the wealthiest minority-majority county in the country. They're struggling to fill high school baseball teams. So is my naked eye deceiving me? Or what is going on here that we can have such a rich tradition? I mean, we had our own league.
Yes.
With Hall of Fame players, but now our kids, are they not interested?
I think one of the things is basketball is a star sport, is quote, in this generation. And it seems to be the quickest way to become some notary someplace. And then there's so much emphasis. Baseball is not an easy game to play. I've learned, by not even being really a baseball fan in my early years, even dealing with the Negro League players, bringing them here to talk to these kids, especially in Prince George's County, got great talent. Baseball is a thinking man game. I didn't realize there's a lot of chess. There's a lot of things that you have to be able to do in your skill level that you can't even compare that with even football or basketball. They sort of cutthroat. You do this, you have a gift, you use it. Baseball is completely against the ball. That baseball running 100 miles an hour, 90 miles an hour, kids throwing them at 60, 70 miles an hour, that's a much interesting little small little device to use a bat to try to hit that ball and just at least get on base. So I didn't realize how complicated it was. Then number two, it's the one of the most expensive sports for youth to participate. And here in the county, I've been involved with sponsoring kids, and sometimes it's $1,500, $1,000 to register. I know you don't have to pay that much to play football, usually baseball, in the youth league or in our local clubs. You see what I'm saying?
No,
you
got to
have a bat.
Not at all.
You have to have a ball. You have to have a glove. Go ahead.
But what's the expense? I mean, you mentioned a bat, a ball, and a glove. But like you're right. I mean, a ball coming
and
at
your
me,
fees are
60 miles an hour.
$1,000 as a child to register for a decent team, because basically this is not baseball territory. It's really in the South, because you can play year-round in the South. So that also why we have some teams here like the Grays from Washington, D.C. They compete, but a lot of our teams that do compete at a higher level, they go down to the South to play the teams because they play year-round. Negro League ball players, when they couldn't play in the warm season, they would go down to South America to play, okay? They went to Canada to play during the time baseball season was ended here in our area.
Now, you mentioned that you said in one of your answers, you said America's game. And you said it with such conviction. I think you actually believe it. But the NFL would argue with that. Tell me now, because you sold me on our kids, you know, why they're a little slow to get to the game, and then you're just educating me on that. But please educate me on how in the world is baseball America's game?
Because what happened is, if you go back to, we're talking about history-wise, baseball was America's sport that kept the people happy during World War I, World War II, predated. They played during the Civil War. They played baseball. Okay. So the history of the building of America, yes, the U.S. colored troops, they played baseball. Also, the white soldiers played. If you go through every instance, really, during the war, when our young men were sent to war overseas, they played baseball. If you go look at records on military bases, you'll find that they had a baseball team. So the enrichment of America's game, it's already been out there, but football doesn't do that. When the boys went off and the ladies also served in the war, they also had female teams. And we've seen one movie derived from that.
Not
too recently. There was a movie, Bingo Long, that a lot of the players didn't particularly care for because the Negro League players said, that doesn't depict us. And what happened is, I think if you find out, the Cab Calloway musician had a baseball team. Okay? Mm. Jackie Robinson had a baseball team. Baseball teams have been existed from factories. Back in the day, you look over the history, the railroads, they owned baseball teams, not football teams. The foundation of the sport of baseball, but also what it did in our communities, is part of the fabric of America. Why not America's game?
Yeah, well, no, why not? No, you sold me on that one, too. You're two for two. So tell me on this now.
Okay.
Are there any local stars? I mean, if you go to your website, you know all these guys, and it seems like you've got access to them. But are any of them here just kind of hanging out? Or, you know, what's the history in D.C. around Negro League baseball?
And it's sad to say in the District of Columbia where – and I'll just give a quick background. I have a collection from 1909, the Washington Giants, a professional team that was owned by managers of color. And they would have been millionaires now living today, which lived in the District of Columbia, organized and everything. And the letter said, from a Jewish owner from New York, and I have the actual physical documentation, I think it was 1912, asking them, is your team colored or white? Because you know they would never go for colors to play baseball in the nation's capital, number one. Mm. Number two, part of that emphasis that I did not realize till I got involved in 1999, that a lot of the Homestead Grades players, actually Homestead Grades actually came from Pennsylvania area, they came to Washington, D.C. to play baseball back in the 1920s and found out you had a beautiful stadium, Griffith Stadium, which no longer exists. Howard Hospital sits on that actual ground. And they played there. It became the home for the Homestead Grays. So they became the Washington Homestead Grays. And I've met players here, James Tillman, Sr. He's deceased now, lived in Capitol Heights, Maryland. He played in 1942 and 43. Sonny William Randolph also played for the Homestead Grays between 1941 and 43. And I ended up, before both of these gentlemen passed, ended up at one person's house and said, I can't believe this. I said, I'm going to bring you this other person to your house. And I brought both of them players together who had not seen each other for 30 years. Actually, 40 years.
Goodness.
They played in the 40s together. I brought them together about 2005. They're gone. So basically, at the age of those who played in the 40s, most of those players are deceased. They say that the Negro League actually physically ended, documented, Congress recognized it till 1962. But as far as historically looking at, you know, I'm not trying to be a professional, this was my hobby, and I became obsessed by it, is that in 1950, in 52, the actual, that old Negro League had ended. Like the Harlem Globetrotters, you know, you had Curly Neal, Melilock Lemon, who I just had with me. But people don't know that the Harlem Globetrotters back in those days of the Negro League had a Harlem Globetrotter Negro League baseball team. So tell me
no
what America's game is.
It's baseball. So now,
it's
Bob,
baseball.
This
go
is
ahead.
A business sports show. What about money? I know there's no comparison to now, but I mean, back when the Negro League was in its heyday, what was the comparison of money compared to Major League Baseball?
Well, right now, if you compare the two, the players then were eating a bologna sandwich, and then they were also looking at where we're going to sleep at in a hotel and end up sleeping on the bus. That's the experience of not able to walk freely to go eat in a restaurant. They had to go find some place. Now, one of the biggest money makers was Satchel Paige. Satchel Paige, actually, if people don't know, ended up playing in Major League and also in the World Series. They never really knew how old he was. But one thing I've learned by third party, I'll just say conversation, that when Satchel Paige came up and the way he was pitching, you know, they changed the mound, the distance of the mound, when the Negro League players started coming to Major League. They were stealing bases and everything. And I want to say, highlighting Jackie Robinson, because he was the modern person of color to integrate Major League Baseball. There were other players that integrated prior to that, but did not get the acknowledgement that Jackie. But Jackie was the right guy, and I think a lot of times, I think he had to balance America. You know, even though he was a man of color, mm-hmm. he had to stand what he was, but he also had that obligation where there were a lot of people at that time would come out, oh, well, Jackie, what you doing? That Jackie didn't become a millionaire, but Jackie made it possible to open that door where every sport, when you think about it, a lot of people making
right.
a lot of money, not only in baseball. It's the transition. We talk about Joe Louis. I said that he also was involved with baseball. We talk about Cab Calloway was also involved with baseball. And Cab Calloway was a person. He was a smart businessman. So you'll see that baseball really, if you invested in it in those days, it brought money because of being a team owner. And can you imagine if they are paying today $40 million, $100 million contract, what is the team owner making now? Now, during the wartime in the early years, the Negro League gave stability to Major League Baseball because those young men were over to war. Actually, the Negro Leagues had more fan base. Comiskey Park is a good example. When the Major League came there, maybe 7,000, Comiskey Park, East-West game, Negro Leagues, we're talking about in the 40s, 40,000, packed. And I didn't realize till later on that some of the stadiums, if you look at the pictures, they did not segregate all the stadiums all the time. I saw them integrated. I was just shocked regionally when they did that film on Jackie Robinson, the latest documentary that was just done. I was like, wow, at least we can see this. We can see that people of wealth during the prior to 1920 and 30s and 40s, if you go and look at the pictures of Griffith Stadium, we got people of color wearing fur coats and having Fox
yeah.
with a head on it, you know, and that's part of the Scurlock collection that I was able to do an agreement with the American History Museum. That's why I said American History Museum owned the Scurlock collection that documents not only in baseball, but women in the rifle club, tennis. We talk about in the 40s. I got
wow.
Andrew Young in his track uniform and swimsuit. And I'm going to leave that alone.
Yeah, leave that one alone, please.
Leave that alone.
So
but
we
talk about athletes being prominent in those days. And now that we have the internet and the communications and everything, we still don't get that knowledge.
No, we don't, because I've got a ton right here. Talking to Dwayne
mm-hmm.
Sims, Negro League Legends Hall of Fame. So how can people get involved in your organization, find out more about you, that sort of thing? Because this is
And
you say it's a hobby, but your passion, this is your thing, man. You got it. How can people help you out?
And let me tell you one thing. It really is the vision of Frank Evans, my godfather who passed, why I did this, because I felt there was not mm-hmm. enough being done in that legacy itself. So my website is, of course, the www.n as in Negro, L as in League, L as in League, H is in Hall, O, F is in Flowers, .org. I like to mix it up sometimes. And we continue to do events. Next week, what I do is I reach out to the community. So with my foundation, we do a lot of charity runs. So can I talk about April the 29th? I got about 100, 200 Corvettes coming to just ride the Beltway to give food and donations to the Capital Era Food Bank. And the reason why we're doing it in the modern day, that's what the Negro League players did when they went back to their community.
Didn't know
People
that
know,
either.
They donated their money. They gave their money to Mary McLeod Bethune. When they were off season, they would go down to Bethune-Cookman College and actually donate the proceeds from the game back to the community.
Wow.
I know
that either. give us that website one more time, and then I got to get Super Referee Craig Muckle in here.
No problem. I tell Craig I said hello too. Beautiful person. www.nll.org.
You got it. Dwayne, hey, we want to have you back here in a couple of weeks because
yes.
I think there's a little more educating you could do for all of us. So. We're going to have you back
Keith,
on
I would
in
love
weeks.
To.
Yeah, I'd love
appreciate
to.
What you're
Very
doing
good.
And
Very
keeping
good.
Us informed. Thank you so much.
We'll be in touch down the road.
All right. Be blessed.
I tell you, that was an education. And going from an education to the only thing that I think Dwayne got a little, maybe he was nervous or something, but he said Craig Muckle, super referee, Craig Muckle is a beautiful person. I don't know who hit him in the eye on that one, but Craig Muckle, super referee, are you there?
Boo!
Exactly.
Yes, good morning.
Get the boos out. There is no way in the world a beautiful person. I don't get it. There's no referees that are beautiful. Let me just, Craig, before you even get started, let me just tell you. I went to game one and
yeah.
Wizards Hawks. And about middle third quarter, I was playing around on YouTube, I think on a timeout. And there's a pro wrestler named Kurt Angle. He's from Pittsburgh. He's an Olympic gold medalist.
Right.
When he
right.
went to the WWE, he has this kind of chant, and it just says, "You suck. You suck." So I started playing it, right? Well, the kids sitting next to me, who were all Knicks fans, by the way, heard that. And they started saying, "Ref, you suck." Next thing you knew, 14,000 people said that for about 2 minutes straight. I mean, Verizon Center would jump, and I'm the one that started it. So I went back to YouTube, and I said, you know what? This would be perfect intro music for Super Referee Craig Muckle. So expect to hear that next week. I have now finally found what I'm looking for. Now all I got to do is hit the button. Super Referee Craig Muckle, welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. Man, what is going on?
Thanks for having me, man. Good morning to you. And I heard a little bit of your tail end of your interview with Dwayne Sims, a good guy, and I'm glad he was able to get on your show today.
Well, you know, I think we may have to call you Super Booker, Craig, because you booked it. So great job on that. So, all right. So, look, I'm out at game one now, and I thought it should have been a little bit easier. I thought the referees were horrible in that game. Like, I know what it was. They ref the game. They watched the game on Sunday. Markieff Morris and Millsap went at it the whole time, and they called that thing super tight. But, Craig, they almost cost the Wizards the game, the referee, single-handedly. Did you see the game?
I did not. There's too many games to watch at one time, man.
There are way too many games to watch, but I got to tell you, flip through the internet and see what people are saying about the officiating in game one, or I'm sorry, game two of the Wizards Hawks game series. That was really, really bad. Now, that series is a little too close for me. What's going on? The Wizards are up 2-0, but it doesn't feel like it's a dominant 2-0. Are they going to sweep this thing, or are we just getting started?
Well, a sweep, I think, is probably a little bit much to ask for. You know, Atlanta's not a bad team. I think, you know, they have some, I think they have some playoff demons to sort of exercise. I mean, I can't remember the last time they actually got out of the first round. Again, you know, you mentioned Paul Millsap. They have Dwight Howard. I mean, they got some good pieces there. I just don't, at the end of the day, I don't think they have enough to get through the Wizards. Beal and Wall are playing really well. You know, you got Otto Porter. You know, he's obviously, you know, coming along real well. And I think, you know, the Wizards have enough. Scott Brooks is a pretty good coach. I think, you know, the Wizards are going to wear them down to the point that, look, a sweep is, I would be surprised if they swept them. But I think, you know, certainly it's going to be a 4 or 5-game series. I would be a little surprised if it went 7. But if it does, Wizards do have the home court advantage. So, if you're a Wizards fan, I would not be overly concerned. I mean, these games are hard. You know, it's the playoffs. I mean, you coach. Playoffs are hard. If the games were to be played on paper, you know, we'd be at the finals already.
Well, yeah, that's true. And, you know, I think, you know, outside of Millsap, I think that point guard, Schroeder, is really good. I mean, he basically went toe-to-toe with Wall. But I think you're right. They just don't have enough scorers. There's just not enough points. But yet, with 6 minutes in the game, in the fourth quarter, in both games, they were still in the game, and that's what kind of scares me a little bit. You know, going back to just hockey for a sec, the Caps, it's too close, and I think this Wizards series it's too close for me. But yet, on the other hand, I think they just will grind it out, win game three, win game four. I think they're going to sweep them. And then, of course, they'll have to go in, you know, off to the next round.
Yeah, I mean, it's survive and advance. And sometimes, you know, I'll also say this. You know, it's never that bad to have a tough first round because that may actually set you up for playing better in a subsequent round because you're kind of figuring your stuff out. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I do think the Wizards will win. I'm pretty confident the Wizards will have it.
Well, let's stay in the East for a second here. If the Wizards do survive in advance, Cleveland looks like they're cruising right along. But the Celtics, you know, I know that Isaiah Thomas, he lost a family member and that maybe that got him off to a slow start. But I think the Celtics are in trouble. And I don't even think the Bulls are any good. Tell me about the East team in this series.
Well, you know, I'm actually very surprised that the Celtics lost both games, you know, both games at home. And Isaiah Thomas definitely had the, you know, definitely had the tragedy in his family. And, you know, we send our condolences to him and his family. But, you know, and so you never know how that actually affected not only him, but it affected the rest of the team. And, but if you look at the Bulls, I mean, look, Jimmy Butler is a top-tier player, certainly not in the top three or four guys, but he's probably in that next tier. Because I actually heard an interesting discussion, not to digress, but very quickly, I heard an interesting discussion about if you had the chance to take Jimmy Butler or Paul George, who would you take? They're actually both very statistically they're statistically equal virtually. And I heard Mike Golic, it was on Mike and Mike, I heard this, Golic said he would take Butler. I actually would take Paul George for the one simple reason that Paul George is a bigger player. However, I would go back to the Jimmy Butler thing and say, at least though, he does handle the board more frequently. So he's sort of in more control than Paul George would be because George has to rely on others to get him the ball. But back to your point, I mean, and plus, you know, you do have an experienced Dwayne Wade on the Bulls. So even if Dwayne is not playing at full strength or at all, which he actually has been playing most of the time, then, you know, his experience is going to be invaluable to a Bulls team that, you know, realistically should not compete with the Celtics. And, you know, Brad Stevens is a really good coach. Now, the Celtics did win yesterday, actually, by an impressive 17 points in Chicago. So maybe the Celtics are figuring out how to right the ship. I do think, though, I mean, it's pretty obvious that the fourth game is a key game. If the Celtics win that game, the momentum's back in their court. They're going back to TD Bank Garden, and who knows what happens from there. So I'm not ready to quite jettison the Celtics yet because they had a real nice road win last night.
Interesting analysis on the Jimmy Butler piece. I think I'd be with you on that as well. Take George for the obvious reason. He's a bigger guy. What about if we swing out west here? I know you like Western basketball at the collegiate level. is everything status quo? I know you're up late at night watching those games. Is everything status quo? Your boy Westbrook got a win last night. Is it just kind of status quo out there?
Yeah, I mean, Westbrook is, you know, all world with what he's done this year. But I actually did see a little bit of that game for a while. And, you know, it was just – it's although the Thunder did win, it's fairly obvious to me that Houston is by far the more talented team. When you look around, they got obviously James Harden, Lou Williams, and I'm obviously blanking out – oh, Patrick Beverley. And you know, that's a pretty nice threesome right there. That, you know, they're all pretty accomplished scorers. So and then the parts around them work pretty well. And I just don't think really after Westbrook, the only player of any significance is actually Victor Oladipo. Not a bad player, but, you know, Houston's got three guys. In my assessment, Oklahoma City's got two. So, you know, Harden's playing just as well as Westbrook has been if you're looking at the regular season. So at the end of the day, Houston's the better team. They're going to advance. I don't think really any of the other series are going to be that, you know, that much of a surprise. I mean, you know, San Antonio lost the other night to Memphis. You know, that was sort of expected after David, you know, Coach Fizdale for the Grizzlies got his, you know, started getting on the referees and all that stuff. And they played a good game. They made some adjustments, but Kawhi Leonard was off that night. But I expect them to get through, as I expect the Warriors to get through as well. And the only other
listen
series I guess
Extra
I would
Points
say, though.
Radio show here, and I'm just listening to you rattle off those names, and I'm like, I don't know anybody on the Oklahoma Thunder. I don't know any of these people. You name like three people. I'm like, he named the whole starting five. I thought it was just Westbrook. Know any of these people. So thank goodness for Super Referee Craig Muckle and Extra Points contributor Craig Muckle. I don't know any of these people. So let me ask you this question now. You rattled off. You said James Harden. We glazed over Cleveland. We did not mention LeBron. But the argument is regular season. Do you now say, okay, the day after the regular season, you can vote for LeBron, you can vote for Harden, you can vote for Westbrook, you can vote for whoever. Or do we let the playoffs go a couple rounds, or do we go all the way to the end to the NBA Finals? Now, I know we talked a little bit last week about MVP, and I believe your pick was Russell Westbrook, but when should we vote for that?
Well, first of all, they give an MVP award for the, at least for the finals, if not for the playoffs, in the NBA. So based on that right there, I believe the MVP award is a regular season award based on regular season statistics. And so, because, I mean, I'll say this. The vast majority of the players who, you know, win the award actually do make the playoffs. But what happens if the guy didn't make the playoffs? I mean, do you just exclude him because his team didn't make it? I mean, does that diminish his accomplishments? I would argue it does not. I mean, I said that, you know, to your point. I did say Russell Westbrook should be the MVP, again, based on the criteria that I believe it should be based on, which is if you took that player off the team, where would they be? There's no question in my mind, based on what I just told you in that Thunder-Rockets series, no question in my mind, if Russell Westbrook was off the Oklahoma City Thunder, they wouldn't even be playing the Rockets. They would be home waiting for the lottery.
Well, let me give you some pushback there, though, because if LeBron wins this championship, how many would that be in a row? Three?
Two championships in a row, but, you know, certainly he's been in the final. He would be in the finals for like six or seven consecutive years.
Right. So I guess what I'm saying is the pushback I'm going to give you is Russell Westbrook may be out in the first round. He may only play five games in the playoffs. LeBron now would have to go through four NBA caliber series of playoff grind and win a back-to-back. Shouldn't he be – I mean, in other words, isn't the NBA Finals MVP usually – the same guy that the NBA regular season MVP?
I mean, these regular season
games, who cares?
Yeah. I mean, recent history would suggest that you are correct. But, you know, look, Russell Westbrook did not miss a game. LeBron did miss games, and most of those games were by coach's decision. I get it. I'm not – you know, we can debate the resting thing on another show. I get that. But, you know, Russ went out there and played 82 games. You know, LeBron has a few less. Okay, we'll just say 75 for the sake of the discussion here. Okay, so it's probably really a de minimis and doesn't really make a difference. But, yeah, I think Russ did have a better overall season.
Why not Harden? I mean quite honestly, they're playing each other right now.
They are.
And Harden's going to win the series. You know that. He's 2-1 now. He'll win the series. I don't know what their numbers are statistically. Harden's probably got more talent on his team. But why if you let the voting go maybe two series in, you could find out some things about guys, especially in a tight race year like this year. Instead of just crowning a guy, like you're crowning Westbrook, and he's going to be out in four games.
I'll say this. You know, Westbrook, in the last game that they lost, the game before last night's game, he had a pretty horrific fourth quarter. He hoisted up 18 shots, only made four. And I think he actually put up more shots in the fourth quarter than the Rockets may have not in the quarter necessarily, but certainly his statistics were so imbalanced that, and he was off in his shooting, that I certainly think if you were going to start judging on your criteria, he would not win it. And I get it. At the end of the day, Harden's team is going to win, and so I think it's fair. But I mean, are we going to mix apples and oranges and say, well, after we do this, let's pick the best combination of apples and oranges to win the best piece of fruit? I mean, really? I mean, I think playoffs is what it is.
No, let me go back to the LeBron argument. So LeBron finishes arguably the number one seed again. I mean, I know Boston got some late games there where he didn't play. But arguably, you know, they were in the upper echelon in the top 5% overall record. I mean, look at all the statistical stuff, scoring, blah, blah, blah. So now if you're saying, okay, well, he was just as good, his team was way better. So if his team's way better, then his numbers should all be down, which they're not down. So now he takes his team back to the championship. I just think there's something to be said. Now, if LeBron is out, let's say they get upset in the first round, and Oklahoma Thunder, Westbrook, and pulls an upset. Well, at least now you could say, oh, there's not a shadow of a doubt that Russell Westbrook's the MVP. You see what I'm – that's my argument for let's let that thing go a little longer into the playoffs.
I mean, I think you make at least a reasonable argument, but – I'm going to stick to my position, frankly, just because.
Well, because that's the corporate line. You're going to stay with that NBA
corporate line.
Corporate line right there. You're looking at stats. Pull the guy away, and they're no good. LeBron can't help it.
No.
If Oklahoma's got nobody. You're the only one that knows who else plays with Russell Westbrook. You're the only one. Nobody else knows the people in Oklahoma.
The guys at ESPN and TBS do, but.
Yeah, nobody's listening to them. They all listen to us. Hey, speaking of broadcast television, the Valero Open golf tournament is a pretty big deal, but not as big of a deal as what you got going on. Tell our listening audience about your golf tournament.
Well, thanks again for that opportunity, and we are now 25 days away from the Prince George's Chamber of Commerce Golf Tournament that will be held at Oak Creek Golf Course on May the 17th. And we never really talked about the Warriors today, but we will talk about one of the Warriors players, Kevin Durant, in reference to the fact that his mother, who he dubs the real MVP, and I think, you know, we can certainly give mothers more than just a tip of the hat as we approach Mother's Day here in about 21 days, in fact, that
absolutely.
His mother, Wanda Durant, is actually going to be our celebrity honorary celebrity chair. So we look forward to having her out and, you know, just being part of festivities. And, you know, she's such a warm and engaging person. We really look forward to having her there and being part of that and talking about the things that she's involved with, of which there are many. And, you know, we have a variety of sponsors on board, and we just got a presenting sponsor yesterday, Kaiser Permanente, and that's very important because a lot of the proceeds from the event are earmarked to support hospitality students over at Prince George's Community College. And Prince George's Community College is also one of our sponsors, along with Washington Gas, Tata Global Beverages. You may know them more as 8 o'clock coffee. So those are just a few of our sponsors who will be out there and supporting us. And, you know, we really thank them for that. Also, we look for some support from Walrus Oyster and Ale restaurant down in National Harbor as well. So it's going to be a good event. We just encourage people to sign up and participate because I think you want to be there versus be back at work. And the other thing I'll just mention real quick if you have business to conduct, invite that business client out. You have 5 or 6 hours with them, pretty much as a captive audience, to conduct that business and enjoy what will be a Chamber of Commerce day at Oak Creek as well. So don't let work deter you, because you can get the work done in a different environment. And I guess let me just mention the website where you can do that. It's www.pgcoc.org. Hello.
Super referee Craig Muffle, are you there?
Yeah. Yes,
okay,
I am still here. Yeah.
Okay, good, good. So my phone dropped out, so I apologize for that. But I believe our listening audience heard all of you. They just didn't hear me say that you've got a great event coming up. And I'm going to try my best to make it out there. I think I'll be out of town, but I'm going to try my best to swing by and give you some support. So, hey, we're going to be in all NFL draft show next week. But rumor is Super Referee Craig Muckle knows football. We will find that out next week. Craig, hey, it's always great to have you on.
Thanks,
Rob.
I appreciate it. Have a good week.
Super Referee Craig Muckle, man. That guy rattled off Oklahoma's starting lineup. I can't get it. I can't get with it. When is football coming? So real quick, two-minute warning. Two-minute warning is pretty simple. You know what? Open up a book and read. Open up a book and read. I loved our guest, Dwayne Sims, who came in and really dropped some knowledge on all of us about the Negro League and those guys, those legends. My advice to you, open up a book and read. A prediction. Wizards and Caps, we picked them to win last week, and they did. Sox and Nets, we predicted them to win, and they lost. Not good. So we're 24 wins, 24 losses. Hey, if you want to find out about Extra LLC, reach us at extrapointsllc.com. You can reach us on Twitter. We always need more Twitter followers at Extra Points LLC. Next week, Channel 9, WUSA's own Frank Henrahan, will be joining us to talk all things NFL draft. That's Redskins, that's NFC East, that's the entire league, the whole show. So be ready to talk some NFL draft. By then, the first round will be over. The first round is Thursday, second round's Friday. So we'll be right in the middle of the third round on Saturday. So, hey, we appreciate each and every one of you who are listening. Love our folks in New York. Thank you for following us. We did not bash your Knicks today. Oh, yeah, we did. We did bash them a little bit. Hey, as always, the extra point is up, and it is good.
Has the extra